Good morning, everyone. Good to be here and going to have the opportunity to speak God's word. We sang the song this morning, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. Amen. And I'm sure that applies to everyone here this morning because you're here in the house of God today. And I've decided to follow Jesus. And it's a song that, I can sing with fondness and memories of a time that, we all made that decision, didn't we? And we said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And from this day on, I won't be turning back because I've made that decision to follow Jesus. And as we sang that this morning, it really gladdened my heart again to hear that and to sing that. But as we know, the end of the chorus ends with no turning back, no turning back. And that's what I want to speak about this morning because this song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus, was a great favourite of mine. It was a great favourite of our church over in Western Australia. We sang it quite often, very often. And every time we had a fellowship night or a youth group nights around the campfire, we used to sing, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. And it always gladdened our hearts to sing out with gusto that great song. But I remember one particular time there when a dear friend of ours, his name was John also, but John had struggled to come to that place to that place in his life where he just, to completely surrender to Jesus Christ. And John struggled for that. But this particular night, we were singing this song, and after it finished, John just broke down and he just poured out everything that was in him, and he just cried his heart out. And he just testified that night of about how all the resistance he had put up all these years, all this time that he had wasted because he knew God, he knew about God, he knew about Jesus. But he just couldn't come to that place to say, yes, I want Jesus in my life. But John done that just prior to that. But this particular night, it just bore it all out and he was just able to just pour out, and he testified to everyone around that how sorry he was that he wasted so much time, and for all the emotional agony and pain that he had put his family through in taking so long to come to know Jesus. But that was a really emotional time, emotional night. But John became a real trophy and a testimony to many people. He was a real trophy to God because he completely surrendered his life to God. To his testimony and the way he spoke about his Saviour Jesus. And people in the township and Newman at that time, they couldn't just believe what a change in this person, because John, he had a foul temper and he used to just go off the deep end, chronic at times. But as I said, he's a real trophy to God, and he overcame all those struggles and the problems that he had in life. So for John, there's been no turning back. He said, I decided to follow Jesus, and that's what I'm going to do. And that man is a pastor over in Tasmania to this very day. So that's a real testimony to John's life, for him just to surrender and say, I've decided to follow Jesus. And again, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, today is a good day to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Today I'm making a decision to follow him, and there'll be no turning back for me. And I'm sure many of us today, you know, many of us could probably relate to John's experience of how we struggled, you know, just to come to that place. But once we were surrendered, when we gave in, we gave up and put our hands up and said, yes, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. I'm yours. Do what you will with me. So we see there, you know, that, you know, it's a matter of just making that decision. And from that time on, we will not turn back. Amen? There'll be no turning back. And for Jesus, as we know, for Jesus, there was no turning back, was there? For Jesus, he set out on the road. He set his face toward Jerusalem and to face what the prophets spoke of many years before. And it was going, he was going forward. He was facing death and for the cross of death on the cross for our sin. He was, and for Jesus, as I just said, there was to be no turning back, no turning back. And he was in the will of God, and he was going to accomplish the will of God, and he giving his life for us. And for us, you know, God's Spirit keeps us going forward, doesn't it? No matter what things come up, there's always some issue in life that's going to upset us or something, but for us, we still soldier on, don't we? We go forward. The Apostle Paul speaks a lot about that, you know, striving, running the race, going forward to win the prize and to that. But we know that the Spirit of God keeps us going forward, keeps us moving on. And we always have that hope and expectation that by God's grace, by his grace, he will allow us to finish the race. Amen? God will allow us to finish the race and to finish what we started. And we've all started out to be disciples of Jesus. Amen? Every one of us, that's the start of our race, and we want to finish that. And to do that, we just have to be a committed people, don't we? Committed people to the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's just amazing how the gospel of Jesus goes forth in every direction, all over the world, all over the world, the Spirit is moving. Amen? And we see, you read, great testimonies of how the Spirit of God is moving and people just coming to Christ every day. We may look around and say, well, God's kingdom not growing, but it is. It is. It's growing at an alarming rate in a good sense. So when I say alarming, it's good to hear how much the gospel of Jesus Christ is reaching people all over the world. All over the world, the Spirit of God is moving. People are coming to know Jesus. Amen? Amen. So turning back isn't the way forward, is it? When we turn around and go back, well, we're not going forward. And we don't want to be like emus and kangaroos. All right? You'll probably say, well, what's that got to do with all this? Well, just a little bit of trivia anyway. On the Australian coat of arms is a picture of an emu and a kangaroo. And these animals, they were chosen to be the emblem because they share the same characteristic that appealed to our forefathers, the early fathers who settled Australia. And they chose the emu and the kangaroo to be on of our coat of arms. And it's on every government letterhead, on coins, all that sort of thing. But why am I saying this? Both the emu and the kangaroo can only move forward. How many knew that? Quarter of you. I can understand that, yeah. But the emu and the kangaroo can only move forward. They cannot move backwards or not with any great degree. Because an emu, it has three toes, right? And it's sort of like there's nothing there to support. If he goes back, he's going to fall over. But when he's walking forward, he's got his toes to sort of pull him along. And the kangaroo's got a great big tail, and if he goes like this, he'll fall over backwards. It's only when they're fighting and jumping up and, they can spring back. But generally, they can't move backwards with any great degree. So you learn something every day. Anyway, but for those of us who truly follow Jesus, we become like the emu and the kangaroo. We're always going forward. We're not taking a step back, are we? We're always going forward. And if we look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 62, it says there, anyone who puts a hand to the plough and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And so we see there that once we enter the kingdom of God, there's no looking back, there's no turning back. And Jesus said to this at this time during his preaching, as it says there, but Jesus said many things, and some of them were popular, some of them were not. They were very hard sayings, but that was one of Jesus' hard sayings, as he said there. Anyone who puts a hand to the plough and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. We can't look back. We can't look back. And I know when I was on the farm and tractor driving, and when you're working up ground, you always need to keep the front wheel of the tractor in the one of the where you've been before. And if you start looking back, what's going on behind? You've got it like this. And when I was a young fella working on the farm, they used to let me drive the tractor down that, and I used to love just ploughing up the ground and this red earth just turning over and just the freshness of moist, clean earth. It's like when you dig the garden, there's an aroma comes out, isn't it? And so, but I always remembered Eric, people I work for on the farm, he said, John, don't look back there. You go up there, follow that track. And that's what it is for us in life. That God's laid out a path for us to follow. And that's the path that we have to follow. We have to keep looking at that path. And every time we go looking this way or that way, we're going to go like this, aren't we? And get tossed around. So there's no looking sideways. We're always going forward. We're always looking forward. But, and so that was the call of Jesus, to leave the past behind, is to leave the past behind and get on with the business of making disciples. Because that's why Jesus spoke his word. He brought his word. And in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke many things pertaining to as to why we should live as righteous people, as people of God. Jesus laid it all out there. It's all in Matthew's Gospel there, where he spoke from the Beatitudes, and he spoke there a couple of chapters just about rules for living. Everyday rules that we come up against in life, principles of God, principles that we need to be following, and people don't follow them. And they wonder why we get ourselves in a mess. But it's all here in there. You read the Beatitudes, chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, and you'll learn so much about. And Jesus just lays it out. He had this huge crowds of people, a tremendous opportunity, and he didn't hold back. He spoke forth the word. He told the people. He said, "This is how it is, and this is the way you've got to live, and to follow me." But he spoke about, about being true disciples, followers who would only move on. And he said to the people there, he's speaking out these hard sayings of his, and he's saying to these people, he's saying, you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even know me. He said, get away from me. And a lot of people probably seen that as offensive. But we can't call out Lord, Lord, and if we don't even know Jesus, can we? It's not thing. But here Jesus said, get away from me. I don't even know you. You're calling me Lord, but you don't follow me. You don't follow my ways. You're not looking to me. And the God, the Father who created us all. And he said, get away from me. I don't know you. And to the rich young, the rich young ruler, he had to say to him, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And that was probably a big disappointment to this young ruler who wanted to be a part of God. Jesus said, no, go and sell all your possessions and then come back to me and tell me how you're going to go. But this young man couldn't face that. He didn't want to part with his riches. And so Jesus had to say to him, well, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And that's what a lot of people find so hard, and making that step, taking that step and coming to Christ. You know, or they start looking back and, oh, I have to give up all these things. But what have we all given up? I'm sure we could look back and say, yeah, well, I gave up. We all have given up a lot of things, but all for the good. Amen. We moved on. We don't keep looking back to the things that we had of, could have had, or all that sort of thing. But he spoke about many things, about the narrow gate and the roadway to life, and how only a few will find that gate. Only a few will be able to go through that gate, because they're just not measuring up. And he said to the people, look at your own life. Take the speck out of your life, your own eye, and then so you can see what's going on. And so Jesus said to them there, do that. He said, when you do that, when you can look at your own life and get your own life into line before you start accusing and looking at other people. He said, learn to forgive others and you might see something happen in your own life. And we let unforgiveness hold us back, don't we? Instead of moving on and being free of that and recreating relationships and that, but instead we leave a broken relationship unmended. And so that he said there, learn to forgive others and you'll see good things happen in your life. And if you harbour bitterness, well, we'll never see good in anything, will we? A lot of people are like that, and it's so sad, because they're embedded with this bitterness in their life, and they just cannot see good in anyone, anything, or anywhere. And it's so sad. And Jesus said to them, you can't serve both God and money. He said, get your priorities right. Put things in the right perspective. And so we see there how Jesus spoke at the beginning of his sermon, you know, all about all these things. But most important, he spoke about the importance of life, about living a life and following the precepts, God's precept, step by step, looking to him all the way, going forward. And he went to great length to speak about them before, in a way, he spoke about them in a way that we would be able to understand them and follow them. He made it very clear and clean, made it very clear for us to just to hear the word, to receive the word, and to do the word in that sense that we could live it out in our own lives. And, as I said, for many people, they find it uncomfortable in accepting the hard sayings of Jesus. But as it was in Jesus' time, it's no different today, is it? We speak about the things of God and people look at us and go, what are you talking about? But we have to know the word of God. We have to have it instilled in our hearts, for when we do speak it out, people will receive it, people will understand it, and people will accept the word of Jesus Christ and make him Lord of their lives. We see a lot of things as uncomfortable because, You know, these hard sayings of Jesus, they challenge us, don't they? They challenge us because we have to make change in our lives. They make us feel uncomfortable because we have to re-evaluate our lives and to re-evaluate our thinking and make changes that align up with the Word of God. And sometimes we just don't want to do all those sorts of things, but the Word of God tells us if we want to move forward, if we want to grow in God, well, then this is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. Because I feel to move forward and to be the people that God wants us to be, we just have to keep moving forward. No turning back. We made that decision. No turning back. No turning back. And we don't want to have an Israelite or a Galatian experience in that we don't want to go back to our pre-salvation days. Who wants to go back? There wouldn't be one hand come up this morning and say, I want to go back to where I was. No way. We're Jesus people and we're going to keep following him. But as I said, you know, we don't want to have that experience that the Israelites faced, or the Israelite people faced, in that they wanted to turn back. And just read from the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Just first four verses there. This is speaking how the people rebelled. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. And they cried out, if only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. They complained, why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. And they said, wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And this is what their complainness caused. It says here in verse 4, then they plotted amongst themselves and said, let us choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back. God had led them so far. And even though they wandered about, they still wanted to go back into slavery, into bondage, all that sort of thing. And there's many people in life today who have had afflictions and been caught up in habits and that all sort of thing. And they've been freed from it, and they rejoice and they're glad and happy to say, hey, I've kicked this, I've got over that, and I'm going forward. Then all of a sudden, you know, they trip over and start going backwards. And that's so disappointing. It's disappointing for them. It's disappointing for those around them, their family and friends, when they see someone overcome a great difficulty, then go back again. But so this is, it seems here, this is what the Israelites here were doing. They started whinging and moaning and plotting against Aaron and Moses and said, let's pack up, let's choose new leaders and we'll return home. And so there we see that they weren't going forward, were they? They weren't going forward into the things that God had called them out. He called them out of Egypt and said, I'm leading you into a promised land. I'm leading you into a good place. And but what was happening there, they were looking at the problem, weren't they? They were looking at the problem and not the promise. But the promise was, and it says in verse 8, and if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us to safety. Amen. God will bring each and every one of us to safety when we find times hard. But here, the promise is here. They were looking at the problem and not the promise. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us to safety into a land and give it to us. Give it to us. It was there for the taking, and they just didn't want to enter into that place. So there we see the Israelite experience. And we look at the Galatians, the same problem with the Galatians. They had a problem also. They wanted to revert and go back to their old ways. They were facing this new way that they'd come into. But they found there were costly implications which they did not want to pay the price for. And so we see Galatians chapter 4 here, Paul speaking to the Galatian, and the Apostle Paul, he had huge concerns for these Galatians believers, and this was the Apostle's concern regarding their falling away, about them going backwards instead of keeping on going forward and allowing themselves to be thrown about by false teaching. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 to 13, and Paul's concern for the Galatians, and he says here, "Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves and to so-called gods that did not even exist. So now that you know God," or he says, or should I say, "now that God knows you." God knows every one of us, amen? And so we know the way. And so as he says there, "God knows you. Why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world?" And he says to them, he says, "You are trying to earn favour with God by observing certain days and or season or months or seasons of the year." Paul says, "I fear for you. I fear for you." That was his concern. That was his worry. And he said, "I fear for you. I fear for you." And he went on to say, "Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing." So Paul was feeling discouraged and really concerned about these people, because as we know, he was one of the forerunners of taking the gospel into Asia Minor and all those places. But he had to say to them, "Do you want to be enslaved again? Do we want to go back? None of us want to go back, do we? We enjoy our life. We enjoy our life. I enjoy my life. I don't know about you, but I enjoy my life. My wife often gets like this and she says, 'Oh, I love life.'" She does. She says, "I love my life. I love my life." That's what we all should be saying. Because God has given us a life to live for him, amen? And it's such a thing. So we should be excited with what God's done in our life, what God has delivered us from. You know, we could have been in many places, went there or gone down many different roads. We could have been in a bad place, but we're here in the house of God today because we've decided to follow Jesus. And we've decided to keep moving forward, keep going on. But so Paul asked that question. He said, "Do you want to be slaves again? Do you want to be enslaved to all these, worshipping these useless gods who don't even exist?" He said, "I fear for you." He also asked the question, he said, "Where is the joy that you had?" It's said... in verse 15, "Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then?" You remember back when we first come to Christ, there was great spirit. There was an excitement, and it's still there. You know, the fire still burns today, doesn't it? Because we can rejoice and be glad because, you know, Jesus Christ is in our life. And so the apostle was aching, he was paining. And as we see here, and Paul was saying to them, your religious religiosity and observances aren't going to be enough to keep you going forward. And he was saying to him, it's only this newfound faith. It's only your faith and faith. Excuse me. Only this newfound faith that the Galatians had. And this freedom that they come to experience, and all of a sudden they're turning back and going back. And we know that freedom, when we had that encounter with Jesus Christ and surrendered, and knew for certain that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He's my Saviour. And He's the one that's going to take me through. He's the one that will help me keep going forward and working towards the end result and winning the prize. But again, I'm sure none of us want to go back again. You know, God has brought us to a place of contentment and surety. And, you know, we're constantly moving forward, aren't we? We're always going forward. And again this morning, Gadgen mentioned, but I encourage you to be a part of this conference today, because this is all a part of us going forward. We're taking in more of the things of God. This man, Robert Gallagher, a tremendous man of God, and he is an Australian. He went to America to study many years ago, and he spent a great deal of time over there. And I think he's living in West Australia again now. But he is a great man of God, and as you come to the conference, you know, be able to take on more on board, you know, the principles and the precepts of God, and learn more. So I encourage each and every one of us to be here next weekend for the conference, and just to learn more about God. We're taking on more on board, and we're going forward because we're learning. Amen. We're learning more about God. So keep that in mind. But as a church and a body of believers, you know, we have every opportunity, don't we? Every opportunity to reach out into this city and this community of St. Albans, you know, in confidence, because, you know, we can make a difference, can't we? We can make a difference. Our dear sister Lashana, she brought a friend along a few weeks ago, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Amen. Our sister Heather brought her friend along and introduced her to the things of God and what it means to have this, a new life. Is that right, Rita? Yeah, I don't want to embarrass her, but she's loving the fellowship of the believers. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? We're going forward. These people's life, they're going forward. They're not sitting in a spot and thinking, well, nothing's happening. What's life all about? They've got something now. They've got something to look forward to, something to hope. And I don't say something, I say someone, who is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So we can make a difference, you know. We want to bring a change, don't we? We want to bring a change, you know, because we're looking to break down barriers and for God just to open doors and allow the good news of Jesus to reach out into this city. You know, we want people to know here in this community that Jesus loves this city of St. Albans. A lot of people don't. We hear about it for all the wrong reasons, but we believe we are making a difference. We can make a difference. And I see a lot of change in this city of St. Albans. And it's all for the good. And so, you know, there's a lot of things you could see happening right in front of you. They don't seem to be happening anymore. I hope they're not just moved to other places. But I hope, you know, by the power of God, the Spirit of God, by prayer, all these things, we are making a difference here in this place. Amen? Amen. So, as I said, you know, people who don't know Jesus, we want to see them to be a part of God's wondrous kingdom. And we can't do that if we're looking back all the time instead of going forward. And turning back means, if you're turning back, if you're looking back, that means you're looking away from God. You're looking away from your Saviour. You're the one who brought you to that place where you can go forward. So, you know, we just have to look, keep looking at the big picture, don't we? The kingdom of God. And that's what we're all looking forward to. That will continue to grow. The army of God will keep marching forward and we'll be able to say, hey, it's a new and living way. Walk ye in it. And that's God's desire for all of us, that we will live in this new and living way and we'll continue to walk in that way. And so, just to finish, I think as believers, you know, we are so fortunate, aren't we? We're so fortunate because we have, number one, we have the Word of God, amen? We have this Word that God's given us, and you can tap into that any time you want to. There's nothing stopping you. No one's stopping you. You only have to pick up your Bible, open it up, and you will be edified, you'll be built up, you'll be encouraged because you've read the Word of God. And to do that, and... But, you know, we have so many aids and we sing all these great songs and choruses so we have no excuses not to continue going forward. Just a little thing, we're invited to share with the young adults a couple of weeks ago, and we went up there and we had a great night with these young people, but Serge was... speaking of there and just about to lead some devotion, and he said, pull out your Bibles. And the people are in their pockets, and out comes the phone. I thought, what's this? No Bible. And I thought, John, what are you on about? They got their Bible in their pocket, in their phone. So, you know, we don't have an excuse, do we? You know, we can look at technology and say, well, you know, that's not spiritual, blah, 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 or all sorts of silly things. But people are actually carrying the Word of God in their handbags, in their pockets. They've got it. And I encourage you, if you're in time, you know, don't send a text to a friend, send a text to God. you know, so... You know, we have every excuse just to keep moving forward, looking into things of God. If your Bible's in your phone and you use it, well, praise God, you know. God gives us wisdom, God gives us helps and things to do, you know. He says, I'll show you the way, you know, I'll do a new thing. Well, God's doing new things. People who may never... read a Bible, but no, a lot of people have got phones, haven't they? So, you know, one day some person will hit it on the wrong time and the Bible will come up and, you know, they might dive into it through their circumstances. But, so I encourage you with that. But my encouragement this morning is that for every man, woman and child, you know, from the youngest to the oldest, you know, I'll say to you this day, you know, you've started out on a journey. That is a lifetime commitment, a lifelong commitment. There's no turning back, no turning back. There is only one way, Jesus. We sang that song this morning, one way. And that is going forward to reach the finish and receive the reward. When Jesus will put a crown on your head and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Eternity with the Father. It was waiting to receive you with open arms. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you again, Father God, Lord, for the opportunity again that you allow me to speak your word this morning. I thank you, Father God, that your Spirit is upon the word. And this word will be an encouragement to my dear friends this day, Father. Lord, and for those who don't know Jesus, today that word will penetrate someone's heart, even if it's not here in this place this day. Lord, we know it will be somewhere else. Today will be a day of salvation for many. And so, Father, we thank you that your word continually goes forth in every direction. Today, the Spirit of God is moving. Today, the Spirit is moving in this place, in your church here, Father. So we just pray, Father God. I pray for my dear friends here, Father. Lord, you'll continue to have your hand upon their lives. You'll lead them and guide them and show them your ways, Father. You will build them up. You will encourage them in every way to follow you and to walk in your ways, Lord. Lord, and you will lead them by the hand. You'll reach out to them in their time of need. Those times when they cry out, Father. Lord, the times when they're on their own and they're shedding tears and just not knowing which way to turn or who to look to. We just pray at that time, Father. Lord, for your Spirit just to come upon them. You will bring solace to them, Lord. You will be their comfort. You will be their strength. And Lord, we know that because your word tells us, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. And so, Father, we just again bless you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our church, Father. Lord, may it, we thank you for our pastor, Pastor Chris, and his family, Father. Lord, for the Brendan and Chloe as they minister to, Lord. Lord, that you've given us so much as a people, so much as a church, Lord. Lord, that you will take us out of here and use us in other places. Lord, we are grateful of that. Lord, that you are growing your people. You are moving them forward. You are using them. So, Lord, we say to you, as Isaiah said, use me, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Amen. Amen.